I remember that year, I was actually in love with the person that I spoke about in my previous podcast, but I could not do anything different than following my passion, my number one passion, and putting myself on the first plate. And there was a certain point that the plant started to invite me to be a ceremony leader myself. What I experienced there for the very first time is that the medicine was not working. It's a great lesson to not get what you want, but you will get what you need. That was a place where I did the ceremonies for the very first time as a ceremony leader. That was for me the number one game changer. We didn't really dare to drink ourselves. We thought like when the first people are in their journeys, then we start drinking. I don't dare to say how many times. And the moment we, like my friend and I, as the ceremony leaders, as the guides, the moment we started to drink, that is where the whole ceremony started. It was so fantastic to put in practice what I learned from the plants and to give my gifts and to change people's lives on my own responsibility, to drive the ceremony, to put the energy there, to work with the spirits and to get the feedback from the people, how they enjoyed the ceremony, how they got the best insights, healing, transformations. And this to me is always the best. The next day, but also right after ceremony, when everyone gets out of their journey and so much love, so much connection, so much gratitude, and that is how life actually should be.
Welcome to the House of Oneness podcast, where we dig deep into the world of plant medicine to help you in your spiritual and personal growth. Our host of this podcast has traveled the world to learn from different shamans, maestros, and other spiritual leaders. She has many years of experience with plant medicine ceremonies. Here is your host, Maria Joanna.
Being in Peru, being in the ceremonies with the Chipibo tribes, with the Chipibo shamans, and meeting a lot of people, yeah, let me go into the world of shamanism. This whole trip of Peru, as said in my previous podcast, was all about learning from the plants. And a lot of ceremonies, again, I did not see a lot from the country. And from that on, that was the kickstart of working with different type of shamans. And I didn't even know how this was all, like, what different type shamans there were, and how many different settings there were. So it was really nice. I was in the sabbatical, and I have a nature that I always want to contribute and I want to create, and it's kind of hard to do nothing and relax. But yes, luckily life was inviting me to do other things. So not only the retreat in Peru, I also had another retreat in Ibiza. And in Ibiza, when I was there, magical things happened. And this is the island of Ibiza. It has a spirit of magic, unexpected things. It always brings something beautiful to me. And also this time, so when I was there, I met a shaman, and yeah, we had the idea, like, let's create retreats together, because I said I stopped my ceremonies in the Netherlands. I have an audience who would like to work, would like to do the retreats, but I'm not a ceremony guide. So I was again the assistant and the organizer. I've done it so long. And this was my period of organizing ayahuasca ceremonies, working with different shamans, learning so much. So it actually made me ready to become a ceremony leader. But it was still not my plan. I didn't have it in my mind. And it was just, as I say more often, you only see the first step. And I remember that year, I was actually in love with the person that I spoke about in my previous podcast, but I could not do anything different than following my passion, my number one passion, and putting myself on the first place. And I think that's important in life that you put yourself on the first place, even when you're maybe in love and like it of course depends, but for me it was stronger to follow up on my heart and to put my dreams at the first place. And yeah, it was like I wanted to go back to the Netherlands, I changed my flight, I had another retreat, and yeah, it learned me so much on yeah how ceremonies can be so different. And we had ceremonies with 30 people, like on the most beautiful places in Ibiza. I traveled a lot myself, and there was a certain point that the plant started to invite me to be a ceremony leader myself. But this is something, like, from my perspective, it's in a way hard to adopt, like, really? And it took a while, because even when I got this message, I still wanted to be the assistant and the organizer, because now I was assisting with a vision, like, okay, the plants are making me ready to make to be a ceremony leader. And then I start to invite also the shamans to come to the Netherlands. And what I experienced there for the very first time is that the medicine was not working for the participants. And as an organizer, I felt so bad, like the people did not get what they wanted. And we are quite used that we can get what we want in this society. Like if you want to have like food, we order, tuck, 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 pay, comes. Or when we have want to have a date, swipe left, right, okay, we have a date. We live so fast. And it's a great lesson to not get what you want, but you will get what you need. And it was very interesting to see how the people handled it, but also how I handled it. Because I felt so sorry, I felt so guilty that I couldn't give the people what they wanted. The shamans, they were more experienced than I was, of course. They could handle it better than I. I could not really sleep well. And I saw this with two different shamans, so I experienced this twice. Luckily, the second day it was different, it was better. And the crazy thing also in this situation, it was that it wasn't working for the participants, but for us as a team and for the shamans, the medicine was working. And I learned later on that sometimes if the medicine is not working, they have a name for it, but I forgot it now. Yeah, one thing is it always does something, because it's a chemical reaction also for your body. It always does something, and it can be that the work is done and you experience nothing, but later on your life is changing. And one of my team members had this experience. So it's Yannick, maybe some people will know him, from the UK, from London. He had a ceremony and he experienced nothing, but not only one day, it was a few days in a row. And of course you want everyone to be fulfilled at the end of retreat. And he left a bit like, I'm the only one of the retreats not having an experience. But after that, he came back to his old relationship. He came back with his ex-girlfriend. He he started the career as being an entrepreneur. He started to follow his passion with making music. So a lot of changes happened. And then there came a point, and there was a funny story. On my birthday, I was doing you could subscribe to win a free ayahuasca retreat. And the beautiful thing is that he won this free ayahuasca retreat for 2 days. And he came over and then he got the greatest experience. So yeah, not getting what you want, it's a big lesson. And yeah, this was new to me. This can happen. So when you do a ceremony, it is definitely possible, and more likely with ayahuasca than with the Shoko Bliss, that the medicine will not work. I learned so much from how they handled this. How they dealt with the participants, but also that the next day can be so different with the same medicine, same amount. And yeah, we cannot control it. We cannot control life. We cannot control our journeys. We cannot control our destiny, because as like what I learned from my ceremonies, the future already exists and you have to trust upon the things that you cannot see, but that you feel deeper inside yourself. So also here, I got an invitation to become a ceremony leader. In a way, I thought, whoa, I'm not sure if I dare to. And on the other hand, I learned so much, so I thought, I'm getting ready. And yes, then the moment came that, yeah, what I said, the future is already written. A beautiful new location came on my path, and this was insane. It was in Amsterdam, and that's also quite insane to do the ceremonies in Amsterdam instead of a villa or the nature. It was a penthouse. It was on the highest place where you can live in the city center. It was like actually the north, but it was like across Central Station. So I can say it was kind of central Amsterdam. You were overlooking the whole city. It was very luxurious, really beautiful. It was just like the opposite of the jungle, but it came on my path and it felt so good. It felt such an honor to do my ceremonies there. So that was the place where I did the ceremonies for the very first time as a ceremony leader. And I started with groups of 10 people. And normally when I was assisting, it was mostly 16 or more. And yeah, I was a bit nervous for my very first ceremony as a ceremony leader. But on the other hand, I trusted so much and it was so much looking forward. And there was a friend of mine who was sitting next to me. She was my support, and that also gave a very good feeling because we had been traveling in ceremonies so much. We have been guiding together. She's been helping me, supporting me throughout this whole path of not only ayahuasca, but also other things that I've done. So it gave a very good feeling. On this very first ceremony as a ceremony leader, it was very interesting because when I developed myself as a guide, I learned to drink the medicine, and that was for me the number one game changer. So if you drink as a ceremony leader, it's not that you're tripping for yourself. It's not that intense as when you are a participant. You do this for the plant support. Like, the plants, they give you support to be the best guide or ceremony leader. And it's as if you're opening portals, you're working with spirit, you're working with animals in spirit. They give the power to whatever the ceremony needs. You work with elements. Yeah, it's a school by itself. And I already learned a lot, but now, it was my first ceremony. What happened is we were careful, like, this is the first time at this location, first time that we are responsible, really, like, without a shaman with us. And we didn't really dare to drink ourselves. We thought, like, when the first people are in their journeys, then we start drinking. We were very careful. We were so careful that actually we served, I don't dare to say how many times. I think it was 7 times, like, I don't know, let's say 5 times. You serve the medicine and nothing happens. And normally after 2 times, it's already like, just even after 1 serving, it should start. And I felt all the time, like, my inner calling, like, you should start drinking. But because it was my first ceremony, I thought, let's just first take it easy. When they are in their journey, I start drinking. But now it was so obvious, like, okay. And the moment we, like my friend and I, as the ceremony leaders, as the guides, the moment we started to drink, that is where the whole ceremony started. So we were opening the portals for everyone, and it was amazing. It was very serene. There was not so much vomiting that I was surprised of. But it was very, very, very powerful. And that feeling is something I will never forget. It was so fantastic to put in practice what I learned from the plants and to give my gifts and to change people's lives on my own responsibility, to drive the ceremony, to put the energy there, to work with the spirits and to get the feedback from the people, how they enjoyed the ceremony, how they got the best insights, healing, transformations. And this to me is always the best. The next day, but also right after ceremony, when everyone gets out of their journey and so much love, so much connection, so much gratitude, and that is how life actually should be, that we are living from our hearts, that we are in this place of our hearts, that we are connected with our soul, and that we already have all those answers, and the plant medicine now can help you to reconnect, to remember, to open, to clean the portals that are stuck, to remove that, so you have this alignment with your soul. And when you're there, you're full of gratitude, of understanding, of wisdom. And yeah, that's why I love those moments. And then we always have good food. We had the best catering, the high quality. I loved to make the retreats, and still I love to make the retreats with comfort. Yeah, and good quality in every way that we can offer. You are an undercover in my ceremonies where people are so vulnerable. This period of time, I start to learn more about how the world works. So I've had a financial background, and then I saw the money system. Here, I got more insight about the pharmaceutical industry. The pharmaceutical industry is not always happy with the amazing healing power of nature. I had an undercover agent in my ceremonies. And an ayahuasca ceremony is the most vulnerable setting that you can be. And we will make a television program about ayahuasca that is all a hoax. Every God creation has DMT inside of the living things. And also every God creation has the power to heal themselves. It's amazing if this comes back to our reality, and if this comes back to the new society, the healing power that we have with our heart, with our mind, with our soul. And when the new person came in, it was the undercover, everyone welcomed this person so warmly. And he was wearing glasses with the camera inside. Everyone was so enthusiastic, so he could not prove to be, let it be a hoax. He couldn't have the material that he was looking for. And then the moment came that we stepped into the ceremony and said, hey, you better make up your mind. Okay, fine. Grab your stuff, go. I said, what's for your heart? We always do an intake. How can you have heart problems? Like, you could never even join the ceremony.
Thanks for listening. Check out our website, houseofoneness.com, for more information about plant medicine, microdosing, and ceremonies. Or find Maria Joanna at Instagram. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, keep following that inner voice.